I will be reading from Zechariah chapter 4. The angel who talked with me came again and wakened me, as one is awakened from sleep. He said to me, "What do you see?" And I said, "I see a lampstand, all of gold, with a bowl on top of it. There are seven lamps on it, with seven lips on each of the lamps that are on the top of it. And by it there are two olive trees, one on the right of the bowl and the other on its left." I said to the angel who talked with me, "What are these, my Lord?" Then the angel who talked with me answered me, "Do you not know what these are?" I said, "No, my Lord." He said to me, "This is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. What are you, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel, you shall become a plain, and he shall bring out the top stone amid shouts of grace, grace to it." Moreover, the word of the Lord came to me saying, "The hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this house. His hands shall also complete it. Then you will know that the Lord of the hosts has sent me to you. For whoever has despised the day of small things shall rejoice and see the plummet in the hand of Zerubbabel." These seven are the eyes of the Lord, which range through the whole earth. Then I said to him, "What are these two olive trees on the right and the left of the lampstand?" And a second time I said to him, "What are these two branches of the olive trees which pour out the oil through the two golden pipes?" He said to me, "Do you not know what these are?" I said, "No, my Lord." Then he said, "These are the two anointed ones who stand by the Lord of the whole earth." And God always blesses the public reading of his inspired and his infallible word.
Kingdom power and reliance on the Holy Spirit. Zechariah chapter 4 has been read. This morning, my prayer is that we see the Holy Spirit as well as feel him, as well as know that his presence is within us. Almost every time I walk up the stairs, I say, "Holy Spirit, let's go." Because I know I cannot do this alone or even at all without him. So such a powerful scripture and a powerful reading this morning. And I wanted to just share a little bit of background, first of all. Sometimes you look through the Bible or you read the Bible and you don't quite know what fits where and why something has happened when and how. And I did a little bit of research, and number one, it's a deeply prophetic writing. And it's the writing is about the completion of the rebuilding of God's temple. And also very strongly about the coming Messiah. And the book of Zechariah is probably in the Old Testament the book that speaks and points to the Messiah's coming more than any other writing in the Old Testament, yet it's such a short book. The Holy Spirit is mentioned specifically in three chapters, the chapter that we've just read in verse 6, also in chapter 6 and verse 8 and chapter 7 and verse 12. But chapter 4 and verse 6, which we read so strongly, "Not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts," is quoted multiple times by Christians all over the world. Zechariah was a priest and he was a prophet. specifically to the 50,000 Jews who had been released by King Cyrus of Persia to return to their homeland and to rebuild the temple of the God of Jerusalem. He was priest and prophet in those days, along with other prophets, Haggai and Ezra. And this was the southern kingdom. This was Judah, who had been exiled to the then world power, Babylon. And Babylon's empire eventually fell, because, you know, each empire took over, another took over. Eventually, by the time Christ came, Rome was the world power. And so Babylon was overruled by Persia, which was the next world power. So under Persian rule, King Cyrus, having been petitioned, released some of the Jews to go back to their homeland and to rebuild God's temple. There was a governor over Jerusalem, and his name was Zerubbabel. So we have Zechariah and Zerubbabel, the two Zs. Zerubbabel was a descendant of King David, and he was the one who led the 50,000 out of the exile in Persia and began to rebuild the temple. But after some time, opposition came against them, both from the northern kingdom, which had been the 10 nations of Israel. And they had been disobedient to God, and they were virtually wiped out, actually, and didn't exist too much. But those that remained were opposing anything that Judah and the Jews were trying to do, and also other nations. And that opposing from various parties discouraged the building of the temple, and it stopped. And people started doing their own thing. So chapter 4 falls within a series of 8 night visions which the prophet Zechariah had. Those night visions were to encourage the governor Zerubbabel to restart, to start again, to complete what had been started, to rebuild the kingdom, the temple. And it took 4 years, but it was completed. That's a very important thing to note. So the first thing that jumped out of me was the question that Zechariah was asked by the angel when he woke up. What do you see? Zechariah saw symbols, he saw emblems, he saw things that he did not understand their purpose. It makes me think about us. What do we see in our daily lives? What comes up against us and we see it, and yet we don't understand why that circumstance is up against us, why that thing has happened in our lives? Zechariah could see the symbols, but he couldn't understand them, and he had to ask for them to be explained. He didn't understand till the angel revealed them. And these revelations and questions happened every step of the way. God reveals himself to us oftentimes through various situations. And as we look with our natural eyes, we're trying to work things out with our natural minds. We're trying to work things out as we know it from our head. We become overwhelmed because our natural abilities cannot resolve everything and certainly cannot solve things the way that the Spirit of God will solve them in our lives. Relying on our human strength and intelligence and our effort seems to lead to confusion and mistakes and no lasting or godly solutions. A I'm just trying to think of an example where you come up against something. Well, let me use, yeah. So a couple of years back, there was a lump that developed on my neck, and my GP told me quite quickly that it was probably some kind of cancer. So what did I see before me? I saw the words, I heard the words, but I saw, is there cancer in my neck? I thank God for going to prayer, but for people who also encouraged me, for people who made statements, not from their own selves, but from the Spirit of God. It's not cancer, somebody declared to me. How could they know? But they declared it. So rather than receiving the word of the doctor, rather than receiving what they saw, I was receiving faith as somebody spoke by the power of the Holy Spirit. And I had to wait a little while before tests were made. And I had a scan on the Christmas Eve of that year. And so I remember the torment that the enemy would want to give. What did Claudette see? The scan, what did she see in the results? What did she see? What was plaguing her mind all of the time, leading up to the time when the results would come? But the word is not cancer. The prayer, the support from others around me, that by the time I went for the results, they were confused, the doctors. The Spirit of God can bring confusion to situations and turn them around. And so they wanted to do some kind of ultrasound because they weren't satisfied. And when I got to the ultrasound later in that January, the man said, "Why are you even here? It's just a swollen lymph node. You must have had some kind of infection." Boom, done. Amen. We praise God. But we could see something different. And so Zechariah was, "What do you see?" "I don't know. I don't understand what it is that I see." In 1 John chapter 2, verse 27, this talks about the Holy Spirit. "As for you, the anointing that you received from him abides in you, and so you do not need anyone to teach you. But as his anointing teaches you about all things and is true and is not a lie, and just as it has taught you, abide in him." It means remain, stay connected to him. I could have stayed connected to the words of the doctors and the medics. And they were doing their very best. They rushed through appointments. They weren't delaying. If it was cancer, they wanted to move quickly. It wasn't that there was a bad intent. But staying connected and remaining in the Spirit of God is what brought the joy and the victory. So what do we see in our circumstances today? What do we see before us? And how do we make sense of it? We ask the Holy Spirit. Just like Zechariah asked the angel, "What does it mean? You have a strange dream. Ask. Don't take it for granted that that dream, which was awful, will come to pass. You have a difficult report. You see your bank account that doesn't look great. How many times do you panic rather than going to the anointed one and saying, 'Holy Spirit, help me, guide me here, show me'?" Then the next powerful statement, "Not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit," quoted over and over and over again. Zechariah is presented with a golden lampstand, with an oil lamp bowl and seven lamps. Two olive trees are one on each side. He doesn't understand what they're for. But the answer he gets when he asks the question is not what he would expect. Instead, in verses 6 and 7, The angel simply says to him, "This is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel." So he's saying, "Tell Zerubbabel this." He doesn't answer the question and explain it. His answer is, "This is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel. Not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. What are you, great mountain, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel, you shall become a plain, and he shall bring out the top stone and shouts of grace, grace to it." Now, these are prophetic words being declared. Zerubbabel has not yet rebuilt the temple or completed it. Yet, it's a prophetic thing of what is about to happen. So the angel is answering and making it clear that Zerubbabel is about to accomplish something, but not by his own hand, but by the Spirit of God. It's not by your energy, your power. It's not by your effort, not by your thinking, not by your planning. It's not by your wanting and your desiring even. It's not by anything that's natural. Although natural ability, gifts, etc., are given to us from God. But how does it really happen? Only by the power of the Spirit of God. God had chosen Zerubbabel to bring glory to his name. In the last verses in the book of Haggai, which is the previous book to Zechariah, Haggai delivered this word to Zerubbabel, that he would do the will of God and be a signet ring in the hand of God. He was simply confirming to Zechariah, "I've already said what's going to take place, and I'm going to do it through Zerubbabel, and I'm going to prove it to you." But this phrase, "O great mountain," Zerubbabel, when that word is delivered, will be encouraged that the great obstacles that stop the rebuilding would be overcome by God's Spirit working in him. The people had made the rebuilding of the temple unimportant. They'd become discouraged, so they stopped and they started building their own houses. So before Zerubbabel is this mountain of how will it be done, this obstacle that's in the way. And the declaration is, "O great mountain, who are you?" What obstacles are in our lives that look like mountains, that look like they cannot move, that look like there's no way round, there's no way up, there's no way over, there's no way under? What obstacles are in our lives right now? Are they obstacles of chronic sicknesses? Are they obstacles of families so divided that it looks impossible for reconciliation? Are there obstacles in the financial area? Are there obstacles for parents with hopes and dreams for their children, and it looks as if the children are going a different way? They're mountains. They're obstacles. But the question is, who are you? What are you? Great mountain. You'll come down. You'll come down. This work will be completed. So what again in our lives? Is it impossible if we walk by the Spirit and not by might nor power to be changed? Is God able? Is the Spirit able? Or do we have to do this ourselves? In Romans 8, verse 26, I'm reading this from the NRSV version. "Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we ought, But that very spirit intercedes with sighs too deep for words. All the way through the word of God, we see the work of the spirit. We see the promises of the spirit's help. Tell you another very, 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 very quick story. I had something very major happen to me. Somebody did something to me really awful. It was a physical assault. And I was just got born again. And I was scared. I was scared to come out of my house. I was scared to see people. I was scared to engage in any which way and form. And I managed to get to the house of a friend who just didn't know how to help me. I was just going over and over again with there's no way out. What's happened to me? I'll never get over it. My life has changed forever sort of thing. And I remember, because I was filled with the Spirit, I just sat there because my friend couldn't do anything. And I began to speak in tongues. It wasn't speaking in tongues, I was just appealing to God. How can this change? How can this mountain move? And as I prayed, I kind of found myself in a vision. Has anybody had a vision in your life? And it was like I was in a dark, dark place. And the more that I pressed in tongues, a little light began to appear. And it was like I was watching the light appear. And then suddenly I came out into this space of great light. I don't know what the Spirit prayed. But the Spirit helps us in our weakness. The second that that kind of vision ended, I was no more afraid. I was free. The Spirit himself helps us in our weakness. Because sometimes we don't know how to pray as we ought. So this Holy Spirit, Zechariah's question about the olive trees and the branches. He asked, what do the branches mean? What do the olive trees mean? And really, it symbolizes, because what comes out of olives? Oil. So this, again, is a symbolization of the Spirit of God. And in this demonstration, there was the bowl, there were the olive trees, there was oil being squeezed continually and being poured into the bowl and lighting those seven sticks, I call them. What it was speaking of, and seven, remember, is the number of completion, is full, unlimited oil. Full, unlimited power of the Holy Spirit. An unlimited source that never runs out. What are these two olive trees on the right and the left of the lampstand, he asked. And a second time, I said to him, what are these two branches of the olive trees that pour out the oil through the two golden pipes? Again, Zechariah is asking because what he sees, he doesn't understand. He said to me, do you know what these are? I said, no, my Lord. Then he said, these are the two anointed ones who stand by the Lord of the whole earth. I'll come back to that. But suffice to say, there was the symbol of the Holy Spirit and the demonstration that oil is never going to stop. It's never going to run out. At the beginning of creation, Genesis 1 and verse 2 says, now the earth was formless and empty, and darkness was over the surface of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. Right at the beginning, the work of the Spirit was active. When the Lord said, let us make, let there be, the Spirit of God was hovering and moving and acting. I looked at Samson, the judge, in Judges 13. When he was born, it says, the woman gave birth to a boy and named him Samson. He grew and the Lord blessed him. And the Spirit of the Lord began to stir him while he was in Mahane Dan. Later on, his power source, because he did great things for Israel in those days that no human being could do. He had strength that no human being could have. But later on, he loses that power because of compromise. His hair is cut off and he's imprisoned, and then it begins to regrow, and nobody has asked that as it's regrowing, it's the symbol that the Spirit of God was coming back into his life and coming upon him. And so the Spirit's work to grow his hair back gives him strength and might. And he overpowers the Philistines at his death. The work of the Spirit at the beginning in the life of Samson. The work of the Spirit in the book of Acts chapter 1. What was the promise given there? Jesus has reappeared in the earth. He hasn't yet gone to the place where he would totally be sitting at the Father's right hand. After his suffering in Acts chapter 1 verse 3, he presented himself alive to them by many convincing proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. There was nothing else he taught. He's showing them the kingdom. The kingdom who is active and alive by the work of the Spirit of God. While staying with them, he ordered them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait there for the promise of the Father. What was this promise? This, he said, is what you have heard from me. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Over to Acts chapter 2 and verses 2 to 4. We celebrate Pentecost. Verse 2, and suddenly from heaven there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. That translated to us today, that was the beginning of the church. Open to us forevermore, limitless, filling with the Holy Spirit and power. In Ephesians 3:16, Paul says, I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being. So we have the Spirit of God living in us. Like the Spirit of God was upon Zerubbabel to complete the building. In 1 Peter 3, verse 18, it says, for Christ, who suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. He was put to death in the body, but made alive in the Spirit. So the Holy Spirit is the important factor about how we live our lives. Without him, without recognizing him, without receiving him, without walking in him, without staying connected to him, what will life be like? I'm so far in serving Christ that sometimes when I'm speaking to people who don't know the Lord and they're talking about difficult situations, I do wonder how on earth they get through. What is it they have to rely on? There is nothing sound and solid out there to rely on than the Spirit of the living God. How are we living our lives right now? What kind of relationship do we have with the Holy Spirit who can teach us how to be the people who live by the kingdom of God? What's our relationship like with him? Romans 8:11, and this is just to confirm that Holy Spirit's work. And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of the Spirit who lives in you. The same Spirit, the same Holy Spirit who raised Christ from the dead can surely change the heart of a man. When Pastor Lillies was praying about the trial that's coming up for 11-year-olds or whatever, I prayed, you change the hearts of all of those who are instigating this. When Saul was going about his father's business in Kings, looking for his father's donkeys, he was stopped by God because he had been chosen to be the first king of Israel. But the Bible says that God gave him another heart. He changed him into another man in order for him to fulfill that role. This is the Spirit's work that changes things. We can't do it of ourselves. So this same Spirit will give life to our mortal bodies, will turn around sicknesses, will move the obstacles from our lives as we stay connected and agree and walk with him. Let me go back to a phrase in verse, back in Zechariah 4. Sorry. Oh, because I'm in the wrong book. So, what I loved is verse 8. Moreover, the word of the Lord came to me saying, the hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this house. So under his hand and his leadership, the foundations had been laid for the temple to be rebuilt, but then it stopped. But I love this. His hands shall also complete it. Philippians 1 verse 6 says, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. It talks as well in Zechariah 4 about do not despise the days of small beginnings. The rebuilding had been unimportant and now they were being encouraged to go again and build again. He who began a good work is faithful to complete it. How many of us have begun something and we haven't completed it because we're disappointed? We have tried a business and we felt that the Lord said, do this, and then it didn't work and we stopped and we never tried again. How many of us have faced these types of disappointments and haven't tried again because we don't understand that we have a God who is faithful to complete the good works he began in us? He allowed Zerubbabel to complete at his hand that which he had begun. Who in here needs to start something again and continue in it because it failed? Some are in marriages which seem to be falling apart, on the cusp of saying, I'm done. Could the work of the Spirit of God change the hearts of both people in the situation? Is it possible the good work God began in that situation could be salvaged? Is it possible? Is it possible to rescue the son or the daughter who have gotten themselves tied up in a cult or something? Is it not God that can draw them back to him? There are so many difficult situations going on in our lives. But God is faithful to complete that which he begun. When we said yes to Jesus Christ, he begun a good work in us. And he will be faithful to complete it. No might will accomplish God's work. The only way to accomplish his purpose is to be enabled by the Holy Spirit. This is how Jesus walked on earth. His earthly ministry, he had an earthly body. And so he went ahead and he proved what it would take for us to walk on earth. He got baptized by water, with water by John, but also baptized in the Spirit of God in front of many people. This is how the church was empowered to begin its mission. God's plans for us can only be accomplished by the moving of his Spirit, by our agreement with his Spirit. We must totally rely on him for everything, for our joy, for our peace, for everything, for our sustenance, for our satisfaction, for everything. We must rely on him. Sometimes it seems difficult. Yeah, but I'm trying to get a mortgage and I'm trying to do this and I'm trying to build that restaurant. I'm trying to, and I've got a new baby and it's da 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 da. Breathe and ask the breath, the Spirit of God, to come upon the chaos and the situation. Very silly thing. It sounds silly, but it's not silly to people who love pets. My sister has a beautiful cat. And we have had a very chaotic few days. Lots of things going on. And on Friday night, the cat disappears and doesn't come in. Cat doesn't stay out at night. And my sister texts me, hope you don't mind, Gardo, and asks to pray. Many people would say, what stupidness. But it was important to her. And it was a way for God to prove his faithfulness. I prayed. And I instantly knew the silly cat would come back. At 4:20 a.m., the cat returned. But I prayed sincerely. And I knew the Spirit of God would do something to prove. He hears and answers. And it will affect her life because he heard the cry and answered. And for me, it was a time where, was this something that I needed to put my attention to? We had some incredible activities over the weekend. We were busy here in KT. But it was still important enough to know that the Spirit of God would carry that situation. I could trust him in it. The book itself, as I come to a close, this chapter ends with the prophetic words of, these are the two anointed ones who stand by the Lord of the whole earth. And if you look in Revelation chapter 11, verses 3 to 4, I hope you're taking notes of this, but there are some notes that will be given out afterwards. And there was a declaration, and I will appoint my two witnesses, and they will prophesy for 1,260 days clothed in sackcloth. They are the two olive trees and the two lampstands, and they stand before the Lord of the earth. So the two olive trees in chapter 4 are two witnesses in Revelation. As we look at these books and we look at the prophetic edge out of each of the prophets in the Bible, know that it wasn't just about Zerubbabel, it wasn't just about the Jews at that time, but it was about what would happen at the end. It was about what will take place, and it was a prophetic pointing continually to the fact that the Messiah is coming back. When the Jews built the temple, they became disappointed again because they did not see the Messiah arrive. We're waiting. We're waiting. But there are promises there that he's coming back. So look out for those prophetic things in each book. My final encouragement to us is to be encouraged. The Spirit of God is ruling and reigning in God's kingdom and teaching us how to live in his kingdom. He wants us to relate to him and to connect to him all of the time as we walk our daily lives. We saw olive trees, we saw the lampstand, we saw oil ever flowing. We saw the power of the Spirit for Zerubbabel and for the Jews to finish in 4 years and complete the incredible temple they built for God. We saw that Zerubbabel was encouraged not by might nor by power, but rely on the Spirit of God. That every mountain couldn't stand. So I'm saying to us today, don't be discouraged. Begin again. You've laid a foundation in something. Begin again. Perhaps you did it without the help of the Spirit. Begin again with his help. Begin again to rely on him for everything. And if this doesn't make sense to you because you know that you do not have a relationship with Jesus Christ, and that the work of the Spirit cannot yet operate in your life because you have never made him your Lord or your Savior, then let me ask you, would you consider to begin a life with Jesus Christ, the one who came into the earth and made himself just like us in the flesh, but with a purpose that under the power of the Holy Spirit, he would go to the cross. He would bear pain and suffering beyond human comprehension. His body was broken, beaten, torn. But his statement was this: I break so that you can be forgiven of your sins and have eternal life. He suffered and took upon himself the weight of our sins and our wrongdoing and our wrong way of living.